Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your professional handicapped host, and I have a little bit of trouble talking right now, but that's okay. I'm James Cox, and I got another killer interview today. Joining me is Crisis. He is the lead singer from the band Under Black Sky, probably my new favorite band of all time right now, because this band is so great. But Crisis, we'll talk through writing, touring, and all the moments in between. Crisis, what's up, my man? How are you doing?
Buddy, James, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you having me, and I'm flattered that that you feel so highly about our music. So
I do.
Thank you very much, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the music. You have like a lore behind it too, which we're going to dive deep into.
Awesome. Absolutely.
But you are from, I think it said you're from, hang on, just let me, I forgot where you're from. I'm so sorry.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Thank you. It's been a long day. I just work, you know, so it's all good. Okay. New Orleans. Yeah, New Orleans has a killer music scene, right?
It does. There's always been a lot of great talent coming out of New Orleans. So we're excited to represent, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes. And you all do it very, very well. Okay. So before we get started, I want to know what your favorite genre is, because most bands, most members of the bands, you know, that I'm finding out now, is they're in, like, say you're in metal music, right? Mm-hmm. You play metal, but your favorite music could be something else. Is that the same sentiment, or do you share the same, like, metal, like, is your favorite ever?
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, because there are, if you ask every person, they probably got a different answer. So yeah. For me personally, I grew up with hard rock and metal, so that has been, you know, part and partial to everything I like. I have appreciation for all kinds of music and art, but if I stay true and true to not just performing and creating that music, but is also the things I listen to as well.
Let me ask you this, since you like all kinds of, how do you feel about country music? Is that a yes or no? Because a lot of people don't like it. I love it.
I think country music is great.
Yeah.
I think country music has it continues to reinvent itself.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that right now, I think if, whether you love it or you hate it, you have to respect it, because it is, you know, it's huge. And, you know, a lot of the mainstream country artists now, you know, they're packing out stadiums. So,
right. Yeah.
Kind of hard to debate.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about Crisis. Crisis is a five-piece band. Wait, hold on. Four-piece band. We got Crisis U. You're known as the Prophet. Beast, the Executioner on drums, and that's a fantastic name for the drummer. I mean, how perfect does that fit, right? Yeah.
Yes. Well, and he goes beast mode. So
yes.
Yeah.
And that's perfect, because I mean,
that's correct.
He's like the bang on stuff, you know. So that's perfect for him, you know. And we got Onyx, the guitar. He is the Seer. And Jax is the Redeemer in bass guitar. I find it really, really awesome that you all combined kind of like I guess it's more like a sci-fi thing. It's what I heard from your, you know, past interviews.
Yes.
But I feel like it's more like fantasy driven too. And
it's certainly
were big sci-fi and fantasy when you were growing up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like creative arts that can transcend you to another place.
Yeah.
And so I always say is sometimes the real world can be, can be tasking and be trying at times. So sometimes escaping from that can be welcome, and it can be, sometimes a small escape from reality, and it gives you an opportunity to maybe see things in a different light, or maybe take a break from what you've got going on in your mind at the moment. And, I think a lot can happen from that standpoint.
Right. Which I think is great, So there was a, before crisis, there was a person who felt something breaking inside, which is your alter ego, let's just say,
Right.
So what moment first made you realize that your voice could be like a weapon and a prayer, kind of?
Well, like I said, I'll go back to what we were talking about before. I think I think music is a very powerful thing. And not just instrumentals can be a very, very powerful thing, and lyrics can be a very powerful thing. And I think that when you realize the power and the responsibility of what it is that you're doing, and then you can have a positive impact on many people's lives, that's a big responsibility. And so when we put this all together, we realized that this could be a transmission. This could be a communication to a lot of people out there that are really needing something. They're needing something in their life to turn them around, or they're needing something in their life to create some clarity, or or some hope. There's a lot of dark places in the world today. And so I think there's an opportunity to find the light in all that darkness, hence Under Black Sky. Right. So, I think that I think that people are going to really enjoy, the concept. Once the album comes out, I think that you'll look at it differently than you will just by listening to music. I think this can, elevate you into another dimension, so to speak. And you can get lost in the story and the narrative and enjoy it. So that's what we're hoping for.
Speaking of your new album, your debut album, Bad Blood, Chapter 1, comes out October 24th, which is really, yep, really soon. It's the middle of the month, and it's great. I can't wait to hear it. No.
Well, we can't wait to get it out. We really can't. We've been bursting at the seams. We've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into everything that we're doing, and we're anxious to get it out there because it's not just an album. It's a total... Right. It's a total transformation. It's a total story. It's a total immersive experience if you let it be one. And if you're in an area where we're going to be touring, then we're going to combine that with the live stage show as well. That brings you into the whole fold and into that world that we've created inside Bad Blood. So I think that, stay tuned for all the things that are coming out between now and the album coming out, because there's going to be a lot of hints. There's going to be a lot of entries inside of the codex that'll be coming live to everybody that will give you one step closer to unlocking everything that it is we are doing here.
Nice. Now, the singles that we are listening to now, are they going to be a part of the album, or are they things that happened before this chapter one?
So they are a part of the album.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and they will, soon when the album comes out, you'll see why we released them now. And then also where they fit into the whole storyline.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've always wondered that. I'm like, cause a lot of people are so single oriented. A lot of bands are, they don't release albums anymore. It's singles, So yeah. So that's cool that these songs are going to be a part of it,
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think the end is, so you don't see a whole lot of, before, that's all people did was release albums, and then you saw people release EPs, and then you see people release singles, right. and then sometimes they go back to albums, and it's a little bit cyclical, but I think that is indicative of the population's attention span these days. What I would like to see is there is so much great music out there, and it's so accessible, but it makes it very difficult for people to really get into an artist anymore, because there's just so much out there. And when you're depending on how you listen to music, or you're listening to a streaming service, you'll find people that listen to 30 seconds of a song or 20 seconds of a song, and they'll fast forward, or they'll and they don't give themselves an opportunity to really dive in. And what we'd like to do is, like I said, bring people into the world that we're creating, and then have them not just listen to it, but put pictures to the words, follow the storyline, figure out where we're going, and then adapt that message that we're creating for everybody, maybe into something they can apply into their personal lives as well, to hopefully create and bridge that gap of true connection between artist and fan, and really kind of collaborating and bridging that that relationship that I think is really important and is missing today.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you said about the internship thing, because I hate TikTok. I can't stand it. You know, I don't know how to use it personally. You know, yeah. I'm more like Instagram, Facebook kind of guy. But yeah, I think the world now has the shortest attention span for anything at all. It doesn't matter whether it's music or work or anything, you know.
Yeah, it does.
You move away from that, you know. So, now, speaking about the music industry, do you see it going in a very good direction, or do you see it backtracking? Because I know that there's a lot of Spotify is my biggest enemy, because I hate Spotify for what you're doing to artists, you know, your band and you. So do you see music, the industry going in a better place, or just the same route?
That's really hard to say. It's a great question. I think that streaming service is not going away.
So that
is here to stay. That's never going to leave. Although I think that, unfortunately, for those that have been around a bit and listening to music and getting into artists prior to the streaming service, had a little bit more value for what the artist was creating. But I see now, because there is so much flooding the marketplace, it is harder and harder and harder to get your art across to the masses because there is so much out there. So I think there's going to be a little bit of an equalization of artists, that if you don't go the extra mile, you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
And I think that is going to work itself out naturally. So I think all things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And, we just keep our head down. We do what we love to do. We certainly don't want to get lost in the shuffle, and we do believe that we've got a good message. We believe that, we're creating good, solid, songs, and, we want to make sure that we get the rest of the world to hear it, you know? So, and that is a benefit of streaming services, where before we could never go worldwide as fast as we can go right now.
Right.
You know, not just ears, but now get eyeballs on what it is we're doing as well.
Right. Yeah. The only reason why I hate Spotify is how much they pay musicians. You know, that's why I'm a big supporter of Apple Music, because they pay a little bit more, you know, so I want to, you know, bring go to the forefront of the thing and get you all more listens, because I just love your band, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you so much for doing that. And for everyone else that's listening, just know that, you know, we first and foremost we clearly we don't do it for the money. We do it because we're passionate, and we do it because it's our love for the art and the things that it's in our DNA. It's what we do, and any true artist will say the same thing. So that's first and foremost. That being said, if you pour all of your heart and soul into things, and your time and effort into things, but you really can't financially make it to the point where you can actually continue to do that, that sometimes forces people to take another direction, and or maybe continue down the same path of creating music, but no longer doing it for the public to hear. Right. And so I think that would be a travesty to happen over time. But I do think that is a real situation, that it is happening to people today. And that's a sad thing, because I think when talented musicians basically give up because they can't afford to continue on, it's not just them that are hurting. It's the rest of us as fans and potential listeners, because we can't get a chance to establish and hear what it is that they're trying to get out to the rest of the world, which could potentially be the your most favorite song or most favorite artist right. that you'll never know about.
Right. Exactly. And it also goes to saying, if a fan like looks to one of your songs as saving their life, then if you go away, then you're like, what do I do? Yes. You know, it's a weird thing, man, you know?
It does. And it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's not just something you like to do. It's something that once you realize the impact it has on other people, it's a responsibility that you have to take to heart.
Yeah.
Because there has been many times where we've gotten messages and communications from folks that, you know, that have had some profound, scenarios happen in their life, that maybe have moved because a line in a song that we wrote or something that hit them a certain way just at the right time was the right thing that they needed, and it changed their whole perspective. And so that's a big deal. And I want to make sure that we continue to have that kind of impact.
Right. You mentioned a line that could save lives, right? So is there any line that you've written that seemed very scary to put out to the masses?
You know, I don't know if I could pick one. I think a lot of our songs, if you go back and now that you'll see, and a lot of an underlying theme to a lot of our music is an internal struggle.
Right.
I think that's something that's relatable because we all to some degree, at one level or another we're fighting inner demons.
Right.
And we're always fighting, between what's in between our two ears, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a real danger. Place to be sometimes, and yes. you know, so I think that a lot of that underlying tone in a lot of our songs are, yes, we realize that's what it is, you know what, we're like that too,
right?
And and to let you know that you're not alone,
right?
And you know, so I think that when you get the album out, you'll start seeing some of these things, and there's definitely messages in there that help people be aware of what's happening, but also know that they're not alone, and then find a way over it or a way through it.
Right.
So I think that's really important.
Yeah. One song that I want to talk to you about, because I really, really dig the vibe here, is I'll Show You, you know? And okay. So I'm going to give you my take, and you tell me if I'm completely wrong or almost right. Okay.
That's okay. All right.
So what it means to me is with me, it's like, I don't like anybody to tell me what to do. And if they said that I can't do something, I'm like, I'll show you, you know? and the 99% of the time, I really show them, you know? So, yes. Did I hit the nail on the head?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, yeah. And I think there's something in that in all of us somewhere.
Yes.
Some people are maybe like you and I, don't even look at me the wrong way. If you think I can't do it, that's fuel for me to move into a direction to show you that I can.
Right.
And some people, maybe everyone's got a little bit of that, in them. And I think that if they were to be completely honest, you know, there's always somebody or something that they're fighting against, but pushing through to the point where they will be able to stand tall, and after going through the trials and tribulations, be able to stand tall and say, you know what, I'll show you what I'm going to do. You can watch me. I'll show you.
That's right.
So, and not in a mean way necessarily, no, there's always going to be people out there that are haters. There's always going to be people out there that are going to tear you down. There's always going to be, and you have two choices. You can let them win, right? And cower and walk away and be miserable. But that's a sad state, because whatever they say doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
What matters is how you feel. And you know, so I think that if you could take that turn and say, you know what, That's okay. Appreciate your perspective. But this is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. And I'll show you.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect example. So I'm going to toot my own horn right now. But the doctors told my mom that I James Hospital, would never walk, never talk, never amount to anything, you know, because I was born with CP. And I'm here, 45 years old, walking, talking, and about to start like a music business.
Amen.
So never let anybody tell you that you can't do anything.
Way to go.
You know? Yeah, say, I'll show you, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that's fuel. When, just like I said, every time you feel a little bit down, just think about somebody that said you couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah.
And that'll fire you back up again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like kindling, you know? It's like,
yes, sir.
It's like the good stuff, you know? Good stuff that kind of bad stuff, too. So, okay. So when you, you created this band only, or like, did y'all, four of you come together and say, okay?
We all kind of came together.
Okay.
I feel the need,
right.
A personal desire and need, of all of us that wanted to take this on. But then I also feel that, once we kind of went down this path, we realized that, this was something much bigger than all of us. So, we're just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I've been told that if you think that it's bigger than you, bigger than me, you're doing amazing things right now. I mean,
yes.
Because a lot of people are just me, and not, you know, you helping others. Yep. You know? So
no, and I think that, and I hope that it comes across. And I will tell you that we are constantly in an outreach for people to join the community. We've actually created a Facebook group called The Order Beneath, which we talk all about. You know, the concept, the lore, and the everything that's everything stuff, that we're doing. Right. Yeah, the fun stuff, the fun things we can all talk about. Well, and it's a twofold approach to it. One is where we can communicate this information to everybody, but number two, where we can actually get information back from everybody. Mm. We believe that as we move forward, a lot of our inspiration is going to come from a consensus of the community that we pull together, not just us. It's one thing to be, I believe that, the four of us can come together and we can pull together the great team and we can make great music and do the right things. But I don't think it can be legacy. I think if you want to build something truly amazing, you have to get outside of yourself and pull together the community, to make it something that can really be big. So we want as many people as possible to join and be a part of Under Black Sky, because it's not just about the four of us.
Right. And I will definitely link the Facebook group below, and so everybody can. Okay. But when you were creating the band Under Black Sky, was the idea of the prophet born first from like imagination, pain, or even necessity? You know.
Well, I think it's tough to have anybody truly understand it until the album comes out.
Right.
Because it'll unfold.
Okay.
There are definitely some twists and turns. And so I'm going to have to kind of hold back a little bit.
Right. Because,
maybe we'll have another conversation after the fact and really get some people engaged in that conversation.
Yes.
You know, so that could be fun.
Yeah. Cause I've watched you back here many, many times, you know, or awesome. I feel like we have a good connection with you right now.
Love it.
Your voice is by far like one of the best I've ever heard, and I'm not sending smoke up your ass or anything, you know, like I truly mean that, you know.
I'm humbled, thank you very much.
Yes sir. I ask all vocalists this, you know. Mm-hmm. The way of keeping their voice like firm and sharp and, you know, what's your secret, you know, cause I've heard pineapple juice is really good for the voice. And I'm wondering if you, heard that yet.
You know, I've never heard that before, but it's always worth giving it a shot.
There you go. Yep. My friend Judy, she's a fantastic vocal coach. She said, get the pineapple juice in the Dole can at the source.
Okay.
bring it right down into.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to try that because I can tell you that it's always a little bit of a challenge.
Okay.
Depending on the elements and the, and when you're out and tour and doing what you're doing, and you can, all the help you can get. And sometimes it's not talking a whole lot, you know, because the resting your vocal cords is really, really important. Other times it's making sure that you get enough time to really do the exercises and, you know, and really get that workout prior to jumping on stage. Sometimes it is, you know, what are you drinking? You know, what is it that you're having that helps you loosen up a little bit? So, no, you know, I'm usually open to anybody that's got great suggestions. So I will definitely try that.
Pineapple juice, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Get it.
So when you are singing the song, do you feel like the song is controlling you, or you control the song? Because all these songs are so deep and really thought out. I mean, like,
I think that once you step onto stage, it's a, you get lost in the moment and you get lost in the song. And there's no doubt about it. It's a major shift. You know, the moment that you walk on that stage, and everything starts happening, you really kind of become part of it, and letting it kind of control you, and let yourself, you know, get lost in that, because I think that, you know, if you're trying to control things, sometimes that's where it comes back and it bites you in your ass.
Right.
Sometimes it's good to let go and just be in the moment and feel what you're feeling, because that's where the real performance comes from.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you play live, I haven't seen any YouTube videos of your show, but I'm sure it's amazing, you know? So when you are performing live, do you feel like you're communicating or like confessing something to us?
Could be both.
Okay.
You know, because there's a, when you're, and I like to tell you that, you know, on our live shows, I mean, there's certain things certain people to expect certain things when they leave one of your shows. And so for us, it's always, we want them to feel engaged into what it is we're doing. We want them to feel that they're literally immersed in what it is we're doing, not as a fan watching. We want them to be a part of the show. And so I think that it's important for people to kind of feel like there's many ups and there's downs. There's many emotional points in the set, whether it's heavy and driving and maybe a little bit of angst and anger, but maybe there is some remorse. Maybe there's some confession. Maybe there is some, and it goes all through the full gamut, because, you know, I think that in our own minds, we always go through that, you know, and I think that that's one key word is relatable.
Yeah.
And I want people to walk away going, wow, I felt that.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Felt that. Yeah. As opposed to, oh, wow, that was really good. I want people to walk away going, I don't want it to end. And where are they going to be next? Because that's where I want to go.
Right. Yeah. Here's a really deep question that I think that you'll appreciate. Do you believe that artists are chosen by art? Or does the artist choose it willingly, you know, choose music willingly?
I think that that's, it's a good question. And I think each artist has their own answer.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think that many artists, you know, they do it for the art of it, and that's what they do. And regardless of what the industry is saying, or what's expected or not expected. And then there's others that are in it for, you know, they're in it for business, and there's no wrong answer. You know, you can't be this way. You shouldn't be that way. It's just a personal preference. My personal preferences, for us would be, we're always in it for the art. And we're in it for, but we're very serious about what we're doing. And because of what we're not what we're saying, but by what we're doing, we would like to think, that would transcend into being a business as well, because we do, because without having both sides of that, or at least having that business side combining with the art side, that means your lifespan here could be very short. So we want to be around for a long period of time. So you really got to be mindful of both.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I've heard many artists say, I was born into this industry. And then I've heard on the opposite end, yeah, I just picked up a guitar and drums and I fell in love with it, you know?
Yep.
All different things.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's so many artists that come out. There's so much creativity out in the world today. And you see some people that you're right. They just think it was just happenstance. I just happened to pick up this guitar and here I am. And sometimes those are the guys that, you know, are topping the charts.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, and you know what? There's God bless them. You know, yeah. I think that's amazing. You know, and there's other guys that have been doing this for their entire lives.
Yes.
You know, and many of them have been doing it for entire lives that some people will never get a chance to hear.
Right.
But that is just, you know, the way it is. You know, I tell you, try to find some solace and some happiness in everything that you're doing. And then, you know what? Good things will come.
Yeah. I mean, hell, Keith Richards is doing it even after his 200-year-old birthday. Yeah.
I was going to say, he's been doing it for over 200 years now.
You know, he's amazing in his own right.
He is. He's still doing it.
Yeah, sir. Yes, sir. So, okay. So I got a few more questions, but I do want to thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So after all the like mythology, music, and passion for this, who is Crisis when the lights go out? You know, how is he on stage as opposed to in the darkness, like lying down or like thinking about something, anything?
You know, I think that I'm no different than anybody else.
Okay.
You know, I think that, I've got the same desires and the same drive and that all of us, I think, that have, you know, and nothing different about me, nothing special about me outside of, you know, anything else. You know, I just, you know, I try to make, you know, good choices and I try to do the right thing. Yeah. And I'm always trying to try to find a way to help others in a way that, you know, that I've always believed that, you know, you give and you give, not respecting anything in return is usually where your life usually ends up providing and the fruits that you're hoping for. So yeah. I always just say, you know what? And there's no difference between Crisis either. It's just the Crisis is a guy that gets on stage and does some entertaining just does some entertaining because you know what, at the same time, after the show is over and people are still in the club or the venue, I want the best for them, as well. And I want them to walk away going, that was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I had a blast. I'm so glad that I came. And we created that light spark in their life that evening.
Well, I guess there's absolutely zero ego on you, you know, which is great, you know, because, you know, you get to meet your favorite band and band members and they treat you like crap. You're like, oh my God, why? You know, it's like, but you're, I mean, yeah. So it's great.
We're all people. And yeah. I think it's important for everybody just to stay grounded, regardless of where you are and in which status you hold. And, you know, I think that I would say go back to the relatable part. You know, we're fans too. You know, we grew up idolizing or not idolizing, but, you know, we had some artists that we were like, whoa, it's like larger than life.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a big responsibility. And I know, cause I know what it feels like too, to meet, you know, people. And I'm like, wow, I expected that to be different.
Right.
You know, I was really expecting for something a little bit more, you know, warm, you know, maybe it didn't turn out that way. And so, but that I know what that feeling is like. And, we even have our last tour, we've had a handful of shows where you see young kids come out to the shows, even as young as 3 years old, their parents are bringing their kids out of the shows and I see them come up to us after the show and I'm blown away.
Yeah.
And cause I just, you know, I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I want those little guys to, you know, to be able to look at and say, you know what? That's what I want to do.
I want to be here. I want to go, Mom.
I want to go there and do that one day. Well, then good, because that's what you should do. And you can do it. And don't let anybody tell that you can't.
Right.
You know, so that makes it worthwhile for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going into like two of the hardest questions I have for you.
Oh, man.
But, right. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. All right. So you're going to hit me today because I'm going to ask you what is your four. Okay, so we're going to do a Rushmore of your favorite bands of all time. Four of them.
Jeez.
Yeah. How much do you hate me right now?
I know.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Four. It's like probably the hardest question you can ask.
I know. You can't do it only down to four. You know,
it's impossible because it's like. Yeah. But when people ask that question, I go, and my brain automatically starts trying to figure out. All right, well, what am I? Yeah. And then what do you think? What do I listen to today? Versus what I listened to 5 years, 10 years ago, or whatever the case may be. So, but there are certain things that I think all of us we always go back to back to our youth.
Yeah,
and I think we go back to how we felt. Because sometimes it's not your favorite band because maybe their music was so amazing. But back in that time, when you fell in love with that band, you were going through a particular time or you felt a certain way or that maybe that band got you through that moment in your life or whatever the case may be, which you will always hold a place in your heart. So and I will tell you that some of the bands that would say what crafted and inspired who we are, although they may be, some of my all-time favorite bands, I might not listen to them very regularly anymore.
Oh, I don't either,
right?
I have bands that I grew up with that I don't even, listen to anymore.
I don't know I can't put them in order because there's no in order.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the obvious bands that would come up, but probably everyone would probably expect is a band like Metallica because, they were a crossover into something new and something radical and something just that changed things but then if you really want to go back into when you look at metal bands and you look at the history of metal, you look at what bands today would say if there was no such thing as Black Sabbath or Ozzy Osbourne. Where would you be today? And most of them would say, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Right. Yes.
Probably wouldn't be. Or I certainly wouldn't sound the way we sound today. Those types of things. So I look at that and I frame that from a perspective of, paying homage because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for guys like that, that laid out the platform and gave us a platform to run on. To do the things that we do today. So I think that would be a couple bands right there. I would say that, let's see here. Can I shift to some of the bands I listen to today?
Please do.
Okay. Cause I feel a little bit remiss because although I don't listen sometimes to some of my favorite bands because I listen to them for half of my life. So I get joy out of listening to some of the new stuff that's out there.
Yes.
And I just really dig some of the stuff. And I tell you, one of the bands that I'm like a big fan of, is Wage War. Those guys are awesome. They're doing things, Killswitch Engage. These guys are doing stuff that are still pulling some grit metal, but they're also changing it up with good melody and they just got the full production and they're advancing the genre. They're advancing where we're all going. And I just think we're all in good company with guys like that. And I think there's thousands of other bands that are out there that are freaking amazing. And I wish I could name them all. But I'm a fan. I mean, I really am. And there's so many new bands coming out that no one's ever heard of that I listen to and I'm like, wow. Yeah. I mean, I hope the rest of the world gets to hear these guys, and there's just a lot of them out there and kudos, hats off to all of them that are out there doing their thing because And even if you're not getting the notoriety that you're getting right now, don't ever stop.
No,
don't stop, you know, because, you know, we're listening, we see it and we want to hear it, you know, and, right. and if you stop doing it, man, the rest of the world just kind of falls apart.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I do have one question before I get to my last question. And you mentioned Metallica, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't mention Metallica without mentioning Megadeth. And I know you have to be like a Megadeth like listener, right?
Yeah, I love Megadeth.
So
yes.
So what are your thoughts now that we're hearing they're coming out with their final album? I mean, that just breaks my heart because I love Megadeth.
You know? Oh, there's no doubt. Well, and there's one thing you know about Megadeth is that they don't put out anything that's not good.
No.
I mean, they're it's all not. Consistent it's like,
too. It's, yeah.
Absolutely. And so to know if that's truly the case, which I hope it's not, I hate hearing that would be the last. Yeah. That they're going to create something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I hope it's not, you know, and I think that from time to time, we've almost like you're hearing people doing farewell tours. It's almost, that's code that's for, gimmick. Yeah, we'll be back. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We'll be back. No problem.
Yeah.
Like so I'm hoping Dave and the guys, don't mean it. They might mean it in the moment, but, right. you know,
yeah.
Sometimes when it's in you, you just kind of keep going. You just kind of keep doing it.
Right. Like a great example is Kiss, you know, because they sold all of their rights to somebody else, and they're coming back on like the Kiss tour. I'm like, come on, guys, you gotta stop doing this to us, you know? I mean, you know,
yeah, right. I know like, it's like this yo-yo.
Yeah, exactly.
And guys like that, I mean, that's like another guy. It's like you know, yeah. what they created. There would be no Under Black Sky if it wasn't for Kiss. I mean, there wouldn't be. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, it's like on the theatrical side, the music. Maybe not so much, but you know, the theatrical side and the stage show and the experience that they did has never been done before, you know, and they, man, can you imagine how many people told them how crazy they were and that'll never work?
Yeah. A lot.
You know,
you're right.
Oh my geez, you know, so.
Yeah. Funny story to tell you before we get to our last question. I went to an Aerosmith concert way back in something, you know, and Kiss opened for them. And whoa. I did not enjoy Aerosmith's show. I thought Kiss.
Interesting.
Because usually all the flames, all the fireworks are going off, and Aerosmith is the first thing. Right. That's what I said, you know? Like, why would you do that to yourself, you know? Because that brought the headliner, which was Aerosmith, down a whole notch and a half, you know?
Oh, I'm sure.
You just
I'm
don't sure. do it, you know? Yeah. But they played it on a great show, but it's like, you're not Kiss.
I just experienced that. How do I go from that energy to not taking anything away from Aerosmith, but
no. Yeah, exactly. So our last question for you is the hardest one of all, harder than the four. Okay. So, album, artist or song. What artist, album, or song are you able to listen to right now, mm-hmm. but you can't tell me, your parents, your bandmates, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? It's so emotional for you that you can't.
That is emotional.
Yeah.
That makes you emotional. Okay. Yeah,
for you.
That you can't tell.
Or is there even the song? Because I've asked that 100 times, and some people will say, no, I don't have a really, you know.
You mean so that the people that say that they don't have an emotional connection,
right? Yeah.
Oh my God, I think that would be you'd be unhuman.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Right.
I mean, there's some that just emotionally will just charge you. You know,
right.
That would really I'd really have to think about that one.
Yeah.
Cause there's
too many to say, right. Yeah.
There is. Well, and I tell you, there's a litmus test for me. And it's not any genre. It's just music in general is that, you know, if a song comes on or it's a part of a song or it's a certain note or whatever, and the hairs stick up on my arms or on my neck. It's a hit. Because what it just did is it forced a visceral reaction in my being that was physical.
Yeah.
You know, from listening to something. And I think that that is a testament to what music can do. Let me ask you, James, what would that be for you?
So I have two songs. Okay.
Okay.
So one song is by Eric Church, country artist. Okay. He has a song called Talladega. I can't explain how it makes me feel deep inside.
Yep.
And then another one is by the Dead Deads. I don't know if you've heard of that group, but that's
I have.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
Yep.
They got a song called Santa Beamed Me Up or Santa Beamed Us Up, you know.
Right.
And it automatically reminds me of my time back in 1994 because they mentioned 94 in that song, right. You know. And that for me, those memories are so important to me, you know, because family members aren't here anymore. They were back then, you know.
Right.
It flooded like great, great memories of that time in not Christmas 94, you know.
Okay.
Because that song is about Christmas in 94. And yeah.
That's so great.
I just cry every time I hear that song, which I don't play it at all. Because I know I'm going to cry when I hear that song, you know.
Well, there's some songs that do that to you, right?
So yes.
I you know, so now that I'm tracking with you a little bit more, I'll say, because some songs will there's a certain amount of energy and connection that's high energy and heavy, and there's others that just aren't. But I will tell you that I know this. So you can't judge me on any of this stuff.
No. So, this is a judge-free zone right here.
I love it all, quite honestly. Yeah. But I will tell you that if you were to, it's one of those emotional songs, would be a Journey song.
Great, I love Journey.
So, and I think Send Her My Love, I think was going to be that one.
Okay,
because it just, I mean, it just, I don't, it's like.
Something
to your soul,
right? Yeah.
And it just hits you right between. And I think sometimes too, when they're talking about, it was either that or, faithfully. I mean, it's like this talking about times being on the road and being away from people. And it brings you right back to real. Oh man, I remember what this was like. I felt what this was like. And it brings pictures in your mind. Mm. And that's crazy to me because, like I said, once again, it's a testament to music and how music makes you feel.
Right.
And I think if you as an artist can have that kind of effect through your music, one way or the other, however it happens to another person, to create that visceral feeling and that physical change in you, that's, I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you another Journey song that does that means to me sometimes, it's Open Arms, you know.
Oh, yes.
I just, man. You know,
those guys are some of the best songwriters on the planet.
Yes,
so,
yes, they are.
You know, it's amazing. Yeah. And now you see, this is kind of off topic, but when you're talking about Journey, you know that. Joey Belladonna is now out there from Anthrax.
Really?
Was doing a Journey cover band thing, which I was like, wow, I would like to see that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of looked into that. That's you never thought
that. Anthrax is one of my all-time favorites.
Okay. So, I forgot this. Yeah, Joey Belladonna. Okay. Yeah. So, do you prefer Joey's albums or John's albums?
We can get into a big debate on this one, only because. John Bush is also one of my all-time favorite vocalists.
Yes.
So, but Armored Saint is they're one of my all-time favorite bands too. But when I hear John Bush, I hear Armored Saint.
Okay.
You know, when I hear Joey Belladonna, I hear Anthrax. So putting them to have John sing with Anthrax, I think it was great, but it was just not the same for me.
Okay.
I'd rather see John and Armored Saint all day.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what album it was. It was like one with Safe Home. I think that was his first album that John released with them. But to me, that album's like there's an unskippable album right there.
Yes.
You know, for me, you know,
absolutely.
That's very rare because there's like two or three other albums that are like unskippable, you know?
Yes.
For me, it's
yeah. And it's like, you know, can be creating. That was I think one of our, you know, there's always a risk when you put an album out.
Yes.
And because we go into it with, we want every song on that album to be better than the one you just heard before, better than that song you just heard before. There's no room for, let's just put that on the album because we need X amount of songs. Yeah. It's like, nope, this is from the first song you put on to it's done. Yeah. It's got to be, wow, I haven't found one song I don't want to listen to
right.
on this.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I think those albums are few and far between anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that we hit the nail on the head with this one.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear it, man. You know, so
awesome.
October 24th,
right? Bad Blood, Chapter One officially drops. We have a limited vinyl, Crimson Red vinyl. Mm-hmm. That's available for pre-save now.
Yeah.
It'll be worldwide. Come the 24th, we'll be on tour. In the middle, we'll be right on a run. Literally, when the album comes out, we'll be right. hitting multiple Texas shows. Yes. So if anybody listening out and watching is in Texas, make sure that you were multiple locations.
I was born in Texas. That's why I'm like, yes.
Hey, you go. We'll be hitting Austin, Houston. Corpus.
How about South Carolina? Are you coming down?
Not on this run, but we will. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there's going to be, stay tuned. There's a lot of things happening with the launch of this album and us supporting it. We'll be hitting a lot of places for sure.
Because I would love to meet you in the rest of the
world. Oh, man, that'd be fantastic. I would definitely look forward to it, James.
Yes. So let's, before we let you go, we're going to give you a little bit of a shout out here. You can visit, you can visit them under blacksky.com, and they're on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, of course. Yay. Yes. And they're on YouTube. And if you go to underblacksky.com/enterthecodex, you'll get to download a digital book off of the Chapter One, which I think is great. Yeah, because I was just reading it right before you came on. You know,
perfect.
It's so good.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm so glad. Yeah. It's good because this is early. You're one of the first that I've ever seen it. So,
oh, nice.
Yes. So this is all, like I said, all happening real time right now, and we want people to really kind of dive in and find out the true lore and the story behind what we're doing. So when the album comes out, you'll be ready.
So is there a book? I mean, is it going to be like a physical book later on? You think
that has come up in conversations before? I think, quite honestly, I see this as being a Netflix miniseries is what I see.
Yes. Great.
There is enough storyline. There's enough twists and turns. There's enough emotional connection. There's enough energy and excitement. And, it's got it all.
Nice. So, yeah, like I said before, we thank you so much for coming on, and we beg you to come on anytime you want to, possibly even after Bad Blood Chapter One comes out, you know, just come back for, you know, second, third, fourth interview, you know, and
would love to. I'm honored, James.
I would love to interview the other band members if you know, you can
tell me. I would absolutely. Yes, and they'd love to meet you as well. So I will make sure that happens. Definitely. Awesome.
Thank you, sir. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.